last case of the morning, Paulette Wagner versus Joanne Barnard.
May it please the court, it's an honor to be here. I'm Ellen Hansen, an Illinois lawyer who has represented Social Security disability applicants since 1981. I'm also a member of the National Alliance for Mentally Ill of Grundy County. I'm here to represent my client, Paulette Wagner, who is mentally ill and believes that her mental impairment is so disabling that she can no longer work, so that she is eligible for Social Security disability. Paulette was born October 26, 1950, and is now 53 years old. She comes from a family of 10 children and knows several of her siblings to be mentally ill. She has a strong work ethic as she started working at age 14 babysitting. She cannot remember not working. Her last job was as a medical technician, which lasted for 21 years. During that time, she became mentally ill, and for the last 10 years, she has had problems at work. The file shows treatment to 1986, but in fact it began in 1976. She finally quit after an altercation at work with her boss due to her mental behavior. There are two ways of being found disabled. You can meet a listing for a mental impairment, or you can have a listing equivalency with several medical impairments. All of her treating physicians state she meets the listing for a mental impairment. The ALJ recognizes that it's psychologists that say that she is not disabled, and they are psychologists who work for the Wisconsin State Social Security Reviewers. They never meet her, they do not deal with the record, or they do not deal with the full record, and they are not medical persons. The Code of Federal Regulations states that the purpose of listings is to describe major body systems and establish impairments which are considered severe enough to prevent a person from doing any gainful activity. The impairment must be permanent, lasting for a continuous period of 12 months, or expected to result in death. There is only a limited review of a doctor's opinion in regard to whether a person meets a listing. You would look at the length of the treatment relationship and the frequency of the examination. You would look at the nature and extent of the treatment relationship. In this case, it was psychotherapy and medication. You would look at the supportability from medical signs and laboratory findings. And she was referred to a psychologist by her doctors to establish her medical condition. You look at consistencies between the doctors, their specializations, and their knowledge of the disability program. In all the cases I appear before, most of the administrative law judge look at the listing first. If the doctor states there is a listing, and they know that that doctor has the specialty in question and has been treating the person, then they forego all testimony and make a finding on the record. The ALJs in Paulette's case did not do that. They took testimony and essentially believed that Paulette was not credible. We believe she is credible. However, her credibility has nothing to do with the case. When a treating physician gives a medical opinion based on well-supported clinical and laboratory diagnostic techniques that are not inconsistent with a medical record, she is disabled. The only thing then that should prevent a person from getting benefits is if they are in a penitentiary. We do not even let drug and alcohol abuse set aside a medical listing. How did the administrative law judge get on the wrong track? And that is, he doesn't understand mental illness, and that is a problem. This is an area of all practice of law that it is difficult for successful people like ourselves to understand. We tend to view people's behavior as volitional, as if they are making choices. And the ALJ makes reference to that in his belief that Paulette is avoiding work. Mental illness is due to a chemical imbalance in the brain. A mentally ill person is one who is affected by any condition that affects mood or behavior. It can be depression.
Counsel, I don't think there was a really dispute that she has some mental difficulties, mental problems. I mean, I don't think the ALJ denied that, did he?
But he is continually referring to willful or volitional conduct or attitudes or character.
You want to keep reading it or do you want to argue the case?
I'm waiting for a question.
Well, I just gave you one. I'll give you another one.
He just gave you a question.
The question is really not that she has these, it can be severe problems, but whether or not she can perform other functions in the workplace.
No. When you meet a listing set by a doctor that the doctor has determined that her condition is...
Well, if that were the case, we wouldn't need administrative law judges. The doctors are going to make all
the
determinations.
Yes, the administrative law judges look to see if the person has the specialty, if they have the knowledge, and if they have the treatment. And I have been in front of enough administrative law judges that I can tell you that as soon as they find there's a listing, they say...
Are you testifying or are you arguing?
I am arguing from experience as well.
But I gather your claim is that she is not able to perform any other functions in the workforce comparable to the things
yes.
that she did.
And that has to do with such things as her ability to concentrate, to think, to get along with people, and work requires concentration and performance for 8 hours, 5 days a week in a work setting. And she herself has listed the problems. Now, part of the problem they had with her is she is very articulate. She knows what her problems are. Now, the reason I'm saying the judge did not understand mental illness is just because you can articulate does not mean you can control. A mental illness means you are out of control. I believe that the judges did not understand, therefore, the true nature of being mentally ill. And it is a problem that I see in all phases of the court, family law, wherever I am, because it is a basic brain dysfunction, a chemical imbalance. The mind is a wonderful and beautiful thing when it functions properly. Paulette Wagner's brain plays tricks on her so that she is unable to function in a work capacity, and that is very distressing to her in the work environment. She has applied 10 years ago for disability, and we now are in front of you, so we ask that you reverse the administrative law judge's decision and find her disabled on the record.
And not to she can't perform any job at all. That's your contention?
Yes. And we're saying that because the doctors have said that her illnesses, because the issue is they have set up listings in the Code of Federal Procedure. They are examples of common mental disorders that are considered severe enough to prevent an individual from doing any gainful activity.
Thank you, Counsel. All right. Please.
May it please the Court, I'm Melinda Hammond for Commissioner Barnhart. This is not a case where the ALJ found that plaintiff's mental impairments were a figment of her imagination or improperly discounted them because, or improperly discounted her symptoms because they stemmed from mental illness. This is a case where the ALJ found that her depression, personality disorders limited her to exertionally to light work and mentally in several regards, dealing with supervisors and dealing with other people. He specifically listed those restrictions to the vocational expert, and the vocational expert testified that nonetheless tens of thousands of jobs in the state of Wisconsin would meet those criteria. The crucial question in this case is whether substantial evidence supports the ALJ's finding that plaintiff was unwilling but not unable to sustain work. plaintiff's point to this court appears to be that if a person has a mental illness, everything they do is out of their control. The ALJ found that this person did indeed have symptoms of her mental illness, and he relied on the medical opinions, he relied on some of the medical opinions about the severity of those symptoms to find she had limitations. The ALJ also found that plaintiff's unwillingness to go back to either her former employer or to even attempt vocational rehabilitation or any other job played a part in her continued not working and her strong belief that she should be disabled. Unfortunately, a claimant's strong belief that they ought to be disabled and that their symptoms are bad enough to meet the disability standard does not, in fact, meet that. In making the finding that the plaintiff was unwilling but not completely unable to work, the ALJ relied heavily on Ms. Wagner's statement to her treating physician, Dr. Kasabowski, about her unwillingness to work and consider rehabilitation. He observed that she had already established this mindset just a couple of months after her onset date in 1994. The ALJ relied on plaintiff's various other statements in which she indicated that she was averse to working outside the home, that she was happy at home, and that she wanted to devote more time to her family. In 1994, plaintiff testified that plaintiff's testimony at transcript page 187 supports the ALJ's conclusion that plaintiff had chosen to change priorities from work to her family. The ALJ further observed that her depression and anxiety symptoms improved after she left her more stressful job in the lab, that she did not perceive her excessive sleeping or her social avoidance as problem areas on which she should work, and that she was able to maintain good relationships with her family despite the alleged severity of her impairment. The ALJ noted that plaintiff was able to visit her sister in Minneapolis on several occasions, that she was able to entertain her very large family at her home at Christmas time, and the ALJ reasonably concluded that these activities show that Ms. Wagner is able to take on and pursue those activities within her family that are meaningful to her. Additionally, the ALJ noted that Ms. Wagner's allegations of disability were inconsistent with the recent, and at that time recent was December 98, normal mental status exams performed by Dr. Larson, and with Dr. Kaplan's opinion. Dr. Kaplan was a state agency reviewing doctor. Dr. Kaplan's opinion that Wagner retained the mental residual functional capacity to perform routine, low-stress work. Finally, the ALJ noted that Ms. Wagner had no financial incentive to return to work because she was receiving disability benefits from her former employer. In fact, in 1999, Ms. Wagner testified that she, one of the reasons Ms. Wagner gave for not seeking a new job after she left the lab was that if she tried a new job and failed, she would lose her benefits and be out on the street like any other mentally disabled person. Her testimony supports the ALJ's reasoning that she had no financial incentive to change her behavior. The ALJ had medical opinions from Dr. Kasabowski, Dr. Little, Dr. Denby, Dr. Kaplan, and Dr. Warrior to support his conclusion that the symptoms of her mental impairments were not so severe as to be disabling, and the commissioner submits that this court should affirm that finding. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Do you have anything else to add? You have 2 minutes, ma'am.
Yes, I have some things to add, because the way the system works is that when you get to a certain level and you have proven your case, when you get to step three, the residual functional capacity is not considered. And again, so you don't consider the problems that that she is having, whether she goes to work or wants to or how she feels about it, because you've already stated that she has a severe disabling disability. Now, what is the judge to do if he disagrees with the doctors like we find in these decisions? The judge is supposed to send her to a doctor on their own, and they send them back to a consultative doctor, and so that a doctor can criticize the doctor. And that is the procedure that they're supposed to use. They kept falling back, and they've been telling you that their medical evidence was by a physician. If you look at it, their medical evidence was by psychologists.
Is that all, counsel?
Well, I would always think.
Pardon me?
She could always continue.
You would never get me to stop on this issue.
So you have to the red
light. I won't answer that.
Oh, I thought it went off. I thought I...
You've got 1 minute. Shoot till that light turns red.
Okay. Again, we're dealing with words and words that my client has said. And what I always cannot understand, the issue of shopping for doctors, because normally, again, and maybe I'm testifying, but when you have a doctor, you sometimes need to go to other doctors. You get second opinions. In fact, I never understand that you're shopping for doctors in the Social Security system, because that's what you people depend on. You depend on doctors, so we have to look for doctors.
Go ahead, finish your sentence.
It's a good thing when a client looks for doctors.
Sure it is.
Yes.
That's right.
And I'll tell you one thing. My experience, doctors, and particularly psychiatrists, are not for sale. I have never been able to have one support me if they didn't believe it.
You'd like to find one, huh?
I haven't spent enough money, maybe.
Thank you very much for your help. Thank you for your help, too.